With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I feel 100%. You know, I feel like if there was a game today, I'd be able to go out there and perform.
So if you had to go into a mini camp, you could go right in there and be ready to compete?
I feel as normal as possible, so yes.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The voice of Tua Tagovailoa, former Alabama quarterback, along with Steve Wyche of the NFL Network. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio, and we are excited to welcome Steve right now from the Los Angeles area. Steve, thanks so much for being part of our show tonight. Well, I'd like to hear about your family first before we talk football. How are you guys holding up?
Well, you know, look, we're great. You know, my three sons who are all in their 20s are here. My youngest is in his last year, or is one of his next to last semester of college, but he's here taking virtual classes. So we're all good. You know, it's great having everyone around. We're figuring out ways to stay busy and stay active. You know, we set up a kind of a circuit training center in the backyard so we can stay fit the best we can during this. And you know, I tell you, Mother Nature out here in Los Angeles has thrown us a curve because it's been nonstop raining. So she's making sure we're staying inside. And as you know, it never rains in Southern California, but it is it has been these past few days.
Well, it's good to know that that you are healthy. And I like the fact that you're together. It's great to talk to the people that I've had on the show the last 3 weeks. And one of the benefits, as tough as the situation is, one of the benefits is people are getting a lot of family time that they didn't expect.
Absolutely. I mean, and it's great because, you know, it's not like we're doing anything out of the norm, but it's kind of cool just to, you know, to sit up and watch movies we haven't seen and discuss those things with them, or just have conversations you may not normally have, you know, with one person being there, and all of us on kind of hectic schedules, and being able just to kind of to sit down and just, you know, really talk. And it's been really cool doing things we did when they were young, building, you know, doing puzzles and things like that. And, you know, my wife is enjoying every second of it. So it's just really been special. And, you know, I hope we all kind of use this time to make us understand that sometimes the simpler things in life and family are most important.
Agreed. Now, we also have the NFL, Steve, which has kept us pretty busy. And you recently had a conversation with Tua Tagovailoa, looking ahead to the draft and kind of talking about everything he's been through over the last 6 months. What impressed you? What sticks with you about that conversation?
Well, you know, I've known him for a while, for probably more than a year or so. And yeah, anyone, he's one of those guys, Amy, you've spoken to a lot of sports people, that anytime you talk with them, you just appreciate the fact that they're so genuine. And, you know, the fact that he's so young, you talk about someone who's family, you know, family-based, and he's just so authentic, which is just wonderful. Because, you know, at this time of year, so many of these college draft prospects are so coached up that they say the same things all the time. You know, they're parrots. They're parroting what they've been coached. And He's just such a genuine guy. You know, you heard him. He spoke. He said he's 100% healthy. And everything right. You hear about people who've been part of his workouts, you know, I've spoken to some of the receivers who've been there. And they're like, he's fantastic. You know, on the flip side, you know, some teams, you know, the medical reviews are all subjective. I mean, that's why one team can pass a guy in a physical and one guy can fail. So, you know, the teams have to really do their due diligence. But no one expects him to fall out of the top five. But the one thing that you know, I love about him is, look, whether I'm healthy or I'm not healthy, I can't control any of this stuff, where teams take me. So as long as, you know, he gets drafted and gets an opportunity, I think he'll be very, very happy. He's going to make somebody, he's going to make some team just very thankful that they did draft him for a lot of reasons other than just playing football.
What are those?
Well, I mean, look, he's somebody who, when you speak to his coaches at Alabama, in high school, you know, he's one of these guys, he's not a big talker, but he'll walk into a room and he's so kind of concerned about how everyone else's life is, that everyone wants to be around him because he makes them feel better about themselves. Mm. And then you talk about how he does things with his teammates. You know, I've got a long form written piece coming out in a couple days, but his former OC, Mike Locksley, who's now the head coach, University of Maryland, said that, you know, he was the wide receivers coach when Tua came in as a freshman. And he's like, guys loved it when he would come in and get reps because he made sure to keep everyone involved. Whereas before, Alabama's scheme was very heavy, getting the ball to Amari Cooper or getting it, you know, to Calvin Ridley. Whereas, you know, you look at the ball distribution in games and in practice, it went to everybody, and that made everyone better because everyone had to run crisp routes because they didn't know if they were getting the ball or not. So he's just so conscious. And again, you just speak to him, he'll ask you about your family, he'll ask you about this and that. He's so conscious of everybody else's well-being. But I think any team that brings him in, again, he'll make the locker room better. He'll help make a culture better. And community-wise, we know who he is. I mean, he's sure. Very faith. He's very deep into his faith. He's very deep into just being concerned about other people. So, again, outside of football alone, I mean, just on the field production, he's somebody who really will be viewed as an asset because this is the way he carries himself and just the way he is, you know, as a human being.
One of the things that will stick with me about Tua is how he handled the transition at Alabama when he took over for Jalen Hurts and that entire offseason where it was him and Jalen. And even if Nick Saban knew what he was doing, he waited until they started the season to announce that Tua was going to take over that starting job officially. And yet the entire time it was all class and Tua refused to turn it into a competition. It was, we are brothers. I learned so much from this guy. You know, we're doing this together. I was so impressed by the way that he navigated what could have been a really ugly situation.
Absolutely. I mean, even the way he's handled this injury. You know, one of the first things he said is like, look, if God wants me to never play football again, that's his choosing. I'm going to follow the path that I've got to follow, you know, again, to make everyone's life better. And we've seen him work. We've seen him do so much to come back from this injury. You know, he could be one of these real inspirational kind of triumphant type of stories in the long run. You know, his Polynesian culture, Samoan culture is very, very important to him. And, you know, the people of the Polynesian, you know, culture, they're really hanging on to him as the great hope. You know, they've had so many great Polynesian football players, Junior Seau, Trey Polamalu. But Tua, when you talk to people, you know, from the culture, he's next level. He is next level, even from guys like Junior Seau and Troy Polamalu. And so it's just, look, he's lived a very eventful life as it is, but he's only 21 years old. So he's got a lot in store, and it's just going to be very intriguing to see which team drafts him. How quickly he can get on the field.
Sure.
With this pandemic, you know, and how that's going to be kind of a setback for everybody. And just to see the impact that he does make, because like I said, there's a lot of people counting on him to be something special.
He carries that weight and that responsibility well, though. Steve Wyche is.
He does.
Steve Wyche is with the NFL Network. You can follow him on Twitter at Wyche89. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. How do you think the virtual element to this period, this spring, will affect teams as they draft, if at all, Steve?
It could. I mean, it's different in terms of, you know, usually you've got, you know, 15 people in a draft room where they're communicating with one another, they're giving hand signals, they're doing everything that way where they know there's a certain comfort zone and how they prep for this, you know, because they do mock drafts on their own to see how the room is going to operate, make sure all the phones operate. Well, now everyone's in different locations. You know, the head coach is going to be here, the GM is going to be here, the head of player personnel is going to be there. So that communication is going to be, whether it's webcam, telephone, or whatever, it's going to be a little bit more convoluted. Now, I don't think this is necessarily going to affect trades. You know, a lot of people are like, oh, you know, the technical aspect, you know, could affect trades. Trades have always been done by the phone. But where it can affect them is, you know, the GM's like, look, I'm on the phone with this team. I need you on the phone with that team, and I need you on the phone with that agent, you know, because we're trying to work something here. That's going to be kind of the difficult, you know, kind of manipulation of this. So hopefully these teams are going through rehearsals for every worst-case scenario right now, just so
right.
they've got backup plans. And, you know, look, the good teams will do that. The good teams will be ready for that.
Do you think we'll have another situation like we did with Elvis Dumervil in 2013 when the Broncos fax machine didn't work and they didn't get the fax in on time? We'll have something happen like that with technology?
let's hope that, you know, the evolution with the DocuSign and the eDocs have come into play here. Let's hope not, but I mean, I think the potential is there, but, you know, who knows? We're in such uncharted territory.
Right.
It's going to be very interesting to see how this whole thing works out.
I just know that it always seems like my internet, my Wi-Fi drops out at the worst possible time.
Right.
That's all I'm saying, Steve.
Right. I mean, and that's something that I think everyone's got to really be, you know, wary of. I mean, granted, the draft takes place during the evenings and whatnot, when maybe the internet usage is here or there, but let's say a storm comes up or something, you know, where some teams are trying to do something. I mean, that's a legit possibility. So hopefully the league or these teams have backup hotspots where everyone can draw their internet usage from, because, you know, it is what it is. But you got to remember, before now, they used to have draft by telephone. They found a way to get this done. So, that, you know, when all else fails, make sure you got that old rotary dial hardline phone where you can pick it up and make a phone call and get a deal done.
All right. Steve Wyche with us here after hours, CBS Sports Radio. I like it. Hot spots for the NFL draft.
There you go.
Let's talk about this trade that happened last night. I'd love to get your reaction. The Texans go ahead and acquire Brandon Cooks, who's actually going to have a greater cap hit than what DeAndre Hopkins would have had. Hopkins, of course, is on his way to Arizona. I don't get it. Maybe a great football mind like yourself can explain to me why you do that exchange, quote unquote.
To me, the only reason that trade was made was because I think the Texans took so much heat for that DeAndre Hopkins trade. They were like, we've got to get another wide receiver here. But look, what's the one thing we're hearing about this draft? You are going to find guys who can start as rookies all the way through the second round of this draft.
Yep.
There are players throughout this draft that can come in and help. So for them to make this deal, to have to pay Brandon Cooks what they're going to have to pay him, just really intriguing to me. Now, Brandon Cooks, when healthy, is a productive player. You know, the Rams offense, living out in Los Angeles and dealing with them a lot, it functioned much better when Brandon Cooks was on the field.
Sure.
I spoke to defensive coordinators who faced the Rams, said, look, one of the things they tried to do was to eliminate Brandon Cooks, because then they could do things to confuse Jared Goff. So Brandon Cooks is a productive player. The thing is, this is a guy who has been hurt, and he suffered some concussions. I think he's got 5 or 6 registered concussions. He had 2 last season. That is definitely a concern. I mean, the availability of Brandon Cooks because of that is something that the Rams were really like, you know, we don't really know what to do. And he, fortunately for him, he's always been asymptomatic. He's had no lingering effects, but there's only so many of these big hits and those types of injuries that you can take when your career, you know, gets into jeopardy.
I'm sorry. Did you want to say something else?
No, go ahead. But I mean, look, overall for the Texans, what an offseason. I mean,
yeah.
Bill O'Brien, they better win it. I mean, they better go back and win that division again and do some special things, because otherwise, Bill O'Brien, I don't know, you know, he may remain as head coach, but I think they're going to have to bring in a GM to help him out a little bit.
Gosh, not everyone is Bill Belichick. Is that what you're saying, Steve?
Exactly.
Obviously, a lot of talk about Belichick and his offseason as well, but I don't know that I thought we would get to this point. I mean, there always are a couple of quarterbacks that are on the outside looking in once you shuffle through the game of musical chairs, But man, the idea that we have a couple of experienced starting QBs in Cam Newton, Jameis Winston, and then potentially an Andy Dalton who might be out of a job as well in a couple of weeks once we get to the draft. Where are these guys going to land, Steve? There's not enough starting spots left.
Absolutely. And that's, look, that's the crazy part about all of this. Now, first off, I don't blame the Bengals for hanging on to Andy Dalton, because we do not know what this coronavirus pandemic is going to do to mini camps.
True.
To all these things. So Joe Burrow, if we're doing something like the lockout that happened, you know, in 2011, where basically teams had less than a month to come in and get ready before they started playing games, to ask any rookie quarterback to come in and start the season under those circumstances is absolutely unfair. So if you're the Bengals, you know, you've got to start your season with Andy Dalton for five or six games until Burrow's up to speed. I don't blame him for hanging on to him now. Does that preclude them from making a trade or getting rid of Andy Dalton before the season? Absolutely not. But it's just so weird because the Patriots, you know, we hear a lot about Jarrett Stidham, how much they like him.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, what's to stop them from maybe making a trade for a Derek Carr or Dalton if they feel that they're, you know, they're going to be competitive at that level? You know, Jameis Winston is not going there because the Patriots, more than anything they do, ball security is number one.
Right.
That is not Jameis Winston. And Cam Newton, I mean, he's somebody I think who could work out well. I think the medical stuff for him is a big issue. I don't understand why a team like the Jacksonville Jaguars has not inquired about a Dalton or a Newton as well, because right now it's Gardner Minshew since they traded Nick Foles. So, but you're right, there's not that many starting jobs available. The teams that do have them are going to draft them. We know the Bengals are going to draft Burrow. We know the Dolphins are going to draft a quarterback, whether it be Tua or Justin Herbert. Chargers the same way. So it's just an odd circumstance for me to think that a Cam Newton is a man without a team, and right now is being viewed as someone who has to come in and compete for a job.
Yeah.
Again, the injuries are an issue, but when he's healthy, he's definitely one of the best players, excuse me, at that position and in the NFL.
All right, so before I let you go, would you like to take a few seconds, Steve, to eulogize the pass interference rule that will only survive one season? It was much maligned. It never really got off the ground, I guess, and we didn't see much of an impact, but the NFL has decided, let's just quietly allow it to elapse.
So here's the eulogy. For one season, we had coaches manipulating a rule to basically get their players an extra breath by throwing the challenge flag, knowing that the challenge flag was going to be overruled, but it gave them basically another opportunity to get a timeout just to help their guys out in a dire situation when they were being driven on.
Well, it was fun while it lasted, I guess. Now we'll have to find another rule to pick on. Yes, exactly.
Right.
You can find Steve on Twitter at Wyche89, W-Y-C-H-E-89. He's on NFL Network, and he's part of these 30-minute editions of NFL Total Access that air Monday through Friday, 7 o'clock Eastern, 4 o'clock Pacific on the NFL Network. So good to talk to you. Great to hear your voice. Glad you're staying safe, Steve, and we'll talk again soon.
You too, Amy. Stay safe.
Nice to have Steve on the show, and he gives his eulogy of the much maligned, short-lived pass interference replay review. If you would like to deliver your eulogy, you can do the same on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. Interesting point he made about Andy Dalton and the Bengals, too. Maybe the Bengals want to hang on to him in the case that they don't have a whole lot of time this summer to work with Joe Burrow. It will ease the transition for a rookie quarterback if they still have the veteran there who can start the season under center. Interesting stuff. 1 hour in the books. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.